episode of the Loud Constant Talks. My name is Nate, and along on my right side is Obeid. So, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Loud Constant Casa crew? Happy holidays. Hope y'all getting ready for a very Merry Christmas, all that Christmas shopping and such.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, this holiday, I mean, we haven't met up since Thanksgiving, so I want to ask you, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, let me tell you, this Thanksgiving was like a gold package. From the Raiders winning their Thanksgiving game on overtime, to the wonderful company of family friends, all the way down to, of course, the delicious turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffings, and other kinds of food to fit in my belly.
So it's pretty much all food and football for you.
Oh, yeah, man. Food, yeah. Football, family, so, friends, and fun.
You know what? You know what? Though I think like that was pretty much all of us too. Family visited us this time around. I know last year we couldn't be able to meet up with family just because of the whole pandemic and everything. So, yeah, it was pretty hard for all of us. But at the end, we ended up, having ourselves a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, same here. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving. I'm glad I did too.
Yeah, the other thing too is that after Thanksgiving is also Black Friday. So, did you actually end up with like Black Friday deals?
Actually, yes. Like pretty much. Funny enough, despite the fact that it was only two items that I was purchasing, one of them was a really damn good deal. The other one was just a good deal on a video game. For me, my Black Friday was short and sweet. Now, of course, there are two particular Black Friday sales I took advantage of. One was I got the Spider-Man Miles Morales game for PS4 due to an awesome deal by Target. Then number two, I got an Apple Series 7 watch for a deal I found on Amazon. An Apple Watch.
Sounds good. Model. So you actually ended up having you ended up actually having a good Black Friday, knowing that you actually had some awesome deals.
Yeah, definitely. I think the Apple Watch was honestly the best deal I've taken like in Black Friday history.
I think the one thing that you also got took over was the fact that you have a PS5. Not a PS5, but a PS4 Miles Morales game.
I wish I had a PS5. It's like
I have the PS5. So
damn.
My thing is that I still end up with good deals. I have a brand new monitor. It's already hooked up. It looks really nice. I got some couple games for the PS5, and I need to set up that PS5 soon. Like Demon Slayer, and I have that game. I have Resident Evil 7. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm like, what other games did I buy? But nonetheless, I mean, like, Black Friday deals were fun. Good sales, and still had up a fun time. I know, here's the other thing, too. I didn't actually, like, go to, the stores this time. I actually just went online. Did you actually have to go to the stores and actually, spend Black Friday there?
No, I just, all the shopping I did was purely online only.
Oh, that's good. So you don't need to actually head over to the stores and actually face the mayhem with a lot of people there.
Yeah, no, even though I did go to this one mall that's close to me, like around San Jose, but then again, I only did it because I went to go window shopping.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I did the same thing too. I was mostly online, not really, spending a lot on I spent a lot of time over with stores. I still ended up actually just having a fun time just, browsing around. I kind of already figured out what deals I'm going to get. So I just went to the website and just ended up picking up like whatever I needed. So, yeah.
That's cool, man.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So we're all caught up. Let's go ahead and get over to our recent news. Let's actually start off with something very successful. So talk about success. During the premiere weekend, last weekend, the new Loud House movie, A Loud House Christmas, has become TV's top kids entertainment telecast from 2021 based off Deadline, which is a big success. How would you say that? How would you explain this to me? This is actually really huge.
Honestly, yeah. Now, I knew that the movie would turn out somewhat of a success no matter what, but holy crap, TV's top kids entertainment telecast for 2021. Like, number one, that's a feat, let me tell you. And it is a feat that we celebrate. Plus the fact that it's a brand new holiday movie that you can watch at home, especially on Nickelodeon and Paramount Plus, like, that's honestly pretty big. And, for all the movie's flaws, it captures the Christmas spirit.
I mean, the fact that the movie is actually pretty, like, decent. I mean, everybody there was acting pretty well. We can explain more about this, but that's going to be in another episode. But still, it beat out the premiere of Camp Coral, and that's already saying something.
I'm glad it did, because let me tell you, Camp Coral is garbage.
All right, so I'm just going to ask you, Obi, did you expect this kind of success for a movie like this?
Like I said before, like I expected to somewhat be successful, but I didn't expect the success to turn out to be that big. And when the success turns out to be that big, that's pretty impressive.
I gotta say this though, after all the advertisement and all of like the social media things that we've been talking about, remember last week, remember 2 weeks ago we talked about this, about how this movie can become successful. I think they kind of like we were on the point there, don't you think, Obid?
I think we were, honestly. That could honestly be the case, because we've talked about how there are a few live action adaptations that do turn out decent at the very least, and would you know it, this turned out to be one of them. Now, keep in mind, I said decent at the very least.
I still say it's still successful. I mean, a lot of people, look, with all the fact that all the advertisements that came out, with all of the social media posts that all the actors and actresses were doing, it kind of like brought in so many people to watch the movie. That's why it ended up being like one of the most popular telecasts in 2021.
Yeah, man, definitely. We're really proud of the Christmas movie. We're really proud of especially the cast and crew, because, you know, judging by what we've seen, like, it really does feel like the cast and crew were having really fun with the roles, with the movie.
Yeah. And to say the least, though, I mean, if I'm going to say this overall, the movie was actually not bad. Like, you could say there's a lot of edits and stuff that we're going to explain in the next episode of our La Casa Talks, but I watched it a couple of times and I got entertained. I was actually not bad. Like, I didn't feel like there wasn't like anything bad. I know there were, like I said, a couple of edits that I thought were like really sketchy that they should have actually done a little bit better. But overall, it did get to the point of the movie and it actually turned out to be pretty well. Now, minus the fact about the whole Lincoln Lab formula, I mean, we'll probably explain next week.
Damn it, Nate, you just gave out a huge spoiler for next week's episode. I was just about to say that if I could sum up my overall thoughts on the movie without spoiling anything, our thoughts would be this. It's a good movie, but not a great one. You're going to see why it's not exactly the latter when we get to that episode next week.
but like I said, not bad. Either way, very successful for Nickelodeon. And here's the thing, though. If it is this successful, are you imagining possibly a sequel for the Loud House cast, for this Loud House cast here?
You know, honestly, even though I feel that the movie itself turned out to be pretty average, I'm going to say this right now. There is actually potential to have more live-action Loud House movies along the way. Like, for example, like we just had a Christmas movie, but what if you make more Loud House live-action movies that center around other holidays? Like I said, for example, a 4th of July live-action Loud House, an Easter live-action Loud House, even a Valentine's Day live-action Loud House. And the reason why I say live-action Valentine's Day is because, you know, it's going to be a whole lot of loving.
If that actually happens, there has to be a Ronnie and Lincoln thing.
That's why I just said, I put emphasis on there being a Valentine's Day movie because wink, wink, potential for Ronnegan, wink, wink.
Here's what I'm feeling. If this is actually going to be successful, there has to be a sequel. I don't know what holiday they're going to bring up, but there has to be like some presence of Casa Grandes. Yes, we have Bobby, but there had to be more than that. Look, it's just Bobby. Where's Ronnie Han? Where's the other Casa Grandes that we could have actually had in the movie?
Where are they? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
it's like, it's not a Casa Grandes. It's not like, a Casa Grandes movie.
If you could give
but
us,
it would be cool to actually have them there.
If you give us live action Bobby, why couldn't we have live action Ronnie Han? I'm just saying, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing too. Speaking of how successful this movie is, next weekend, we are treated to an encore of the hit movie with the actors of Lincoln and Clyde, Wolfgang and Jazeer, hanging out with what looks to be the set of a Loud House Christmas, as well as a brand new episode of The Loud House. So let's talk about next weekend, because we're going to be just watching The Lion House Christmas, but we're going to also talk to Wolfgang. We're going to go see Wolfgang and Jazeer. What do you think the actors have in store for the viewing audience? How excited are you for this weekend or the next weekend?
I'm actually pretty excited to see The Loud House live action Christmas movie again, with some, let's say like this, like there's actually like some sort of like TV edition of bonus features. You know, those bonus features that you see on this, like DVD, this movie DVD, like this is pretty much the TV equivalent of that, where you got some extra stuff added along, to sort of like, enhance, you getting into the realm of the movie and it's, you know, behind the scenes look at and all that stuff. It sort of reminds me of that in a way.
Yeah, I feel like, well, here's the thing, like, they're going to be behind the scenes pretty much, you know, in that whole set. So what I'm imagining is the fact that both of them are probably going to be like, oh, we're going to have fun, and we're going to open presents, oh, we're going to sing the Loud House Christmas song. So that's what I'm thinking about. It's not going to be, like, really engaging with the audience, but still, it's just awesome to see, like, Wolfgang and Jazeer, who both Clyde and Lincoln, and they did a pretty good job being Clyde and Lincoln in the movie. It makes sense for them to host this also.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they can deliver.
Hopefully it's going to be something good for everybody who want to watch the Loud House Christmas next week. Now, here's the other thing, too. They are going to treat us to a brand new episode of The Loud House, which leads us to our preview section of our recent news. The first episode is going to come out next Saturday. It's called How the Best Was Won. First off, it's already out. It's already out in other countries. But what can you say about this episode without any spoiling anybody?
Now, coincidentally enough, right before this episode, I really did see How the Best Was Won. And let me tell you, the episode itself is pretty average. That's all I'm going to tell you. There was one element that really stood out to me, which I'm not going to spoil. You'd have to see for yourselves what I'm talking about. But let's just say, like, the episode as a whole, not really one of season 5's best, but it's pretty average, like I said.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to be pretty much visualizing from that commercial that I saw. Oh, a brand new Loud House episode? Awesome. This is the title of it? That's awesome. Why is there a broken chain between Lincoln's face? Why is there a crack between Lincoln's face? I have no idea, but I believe there's a fight between a friendship for Lincoln, I guess. Maybe Clyde wants to like be best friends with Lincoln. Maybe there are Lincoln McCloud, but how about the rest of them? Like Liam, Zach, Rusty, them. Stella, for example. Ooh, maybe this is just pretty much like trying to find like the best friend for Lincoln. I don't know. Maybe a competition for Lincoln's best friendship. It's going to be interesting, but it's a rift between the best friends and I don't know about this, if it's going to be good or not, but hopefully it leads. I don't know. It just feels like from the way I'm seeing it, it's like, oh, they're going to fight. Then in the end, they're going to be all together again.
You know, I'm just going to say this right now. The most accurate and the most right thing that you said like is competition, because let me tell you, there's a whole lot of that in this episode.
Okay, but remember, no spoiling. You did see it, no spoiling.
No, I'm not gonna pull and let you alone. No.
All right. But here's the other thing too. Next week, we also do have brand new Casa Grande's episodes. They're supposed to be called Christmas specials, but they're not. There's two episodes that are coming up for the Casa Grandes. One is Throwing Pains. The next one is La La Land. Without spoilers, Omid, what are your thoughts on these two episodes? Let's start it off with Throwing Pains.
Okay, first, I need to point this out real quick. Nickelodeon, Casa Grandes, please work on your advertising, because honest to God, we thought that this was going to be, you were going to deliver us another Casa Grandes Christmas episode, but instead, y'all were like, you know, hey, since the episode takes place in snow, it must be Christmas themed. You know, which is like saying that an episode is for the July theme because it takes place on a hot summer beach. Now, without spoilers, I really liked the two episodes. La La Land was a touching tale of an owner and her dog, Ronnie Ann and Lalo in this case. And Throwing Pains was a fun-filled episode with an engaging dodgeball match.
So what I'm looking at, if I'm looking at the advertisements, I pretty much was looking like, why is Sid frozen? Why is Becky the main person in this episode? And it kind of feels like it is pretty much like, oh, something's going to be revealed about Becky. Why do you think I actually had an interview about it, about this?
Yes, and if y'all want to, now here's a little something I want to share. So Nate here actually did interview the voice actress of Becky, Abby Trott, when he went to KomoriCon a few weeks ago. So if you want, guys want to check that out, I believe he shared it somewhere on Twitter.
It's over at the Cali California Conventions blog. It's on YouTube. So search up California Conventions blog. The interview will be right there. I also did interview a lot of other guests. Erica Mendez was one. I forgot the others, but I know Erica Mendez was definitely a topper. Oh, Robbie Damon was also another topper as well. So if you guys want to see that interview, those interviews, go check out our YouTube channel called California Conventions blog. That's the press team I'm working with. That's the reason why I go to conventions and all that kind of stuff. But I ended up having a personal interview with Abby Trott. So please check that out. And I did talk about throwing paints in that interview. All right. So the next episode that also is coming out on Friday is going to be La La Land. Without spoilers, Omid, how would you preview this? How would you explain this episode? Like, what are you? Without any spoilers.
Like I said before, so it's pretty much a touching tale of, you know, an owner and her dog. Like, pretty much, this episode really solidifies how much the dog Lalo really means to the entire Casa Grande family, especially to Ronnie Ann. And, like, there's a bit of a behind-the-scenes footage, like not what we were just talking about a few minutes ago with Loud House Live Action Christmas. Like, no, there's actually legit behind the scenes footage of the movie that Lalo himself is working on.
So here's what I'm gonna say about it, because the thing is that if I was actually a person watching Nickelodeon right now, there was no advertisement about La La Land. So, but the way I'm seeing it right now is more like, why is Lalo being pampered? It looks like he's actually a Hollywood and being a star. So is this how the treatment is going to be? Like, are they going to lose Lalo in this episode? it kind of feels like that, right? He's going to be a huge star, I believe. He's going to be a huge Hollywood star. And it feels like that's the route that Lalo is going to take. Plus, the other thing, too, we don't have any Lalo episodes. We don't have much Lalo episodes. So this is actually going to be really fun to see because, yeah, Lalo's going to be the star of this episode.
But as we're going to talk about later on, it turns out that Lalo is not the only character that is robbed of a potential, much more potential screen time. No, we're going to get to that, like, when we get to the main subject.
That's pretty sure, yeah. If you guys want to bring up when it comes to recent news, it feels like we've already gotten through everything, but still, a huge success for the Loud House Christmas. You can watch that on Nickelodeon and on Paramount+. All right. Yes. So let's head over to our main subject, which is this is Maria Santiago. So you all know her as the nurse who took care of her two kids. She's the lone Casa Grandes, whom, if I'm honest with you, doesn't have like much airtime in the rest of the Casa Grandes. But if you have been seeing her recently, there's been a lot about her. From her past to her big role and why she helped make the spinoff show of The Loud House to pretty much what, like the making of the Casa Grandes. She's Maria Santiago, and there's quite a lot to talk about her. So tonight, we're going to break down everything that we've seen recently about Maria, how she really helped make the Casa Grandes, her past, how she's kind of crazy with her past, and why there needs to be more airtime for Maria. So let's actually start off with the big main one. First off, without Maria, we wouldn't have the Casa Grandes, right? I mean, sure, she only appeared in the first episode, Shell Shock, just to say hello to Lincoln, but in relative chaos, that's when her big move came in. If you think about it, if it wasn't for her and her kids to move out of Great Lake City, we wouldn't have had this Casa Grandes, this Casa Grandes show. So Omid, when you think about this, should we really give thanks to Maria for introducing us to the Casa Grandes that we love and cherish now?
Yes. Now, even though in the beginning of Relative Chaos, we thought they weren't moving, you know, we, as well as Ronnie and Bobby, thought they were just going to, you know, visit them and that's it. However, I'm so glad we got to meet the Casa Grande family, from Hector to Rosa to Carl to CJ to Carlota to Lalo to... Sergio. Now, it was revealed later on that the reason she brought the Santiagos to Great Lake City in the first place was so that they can move in. Ronnie Anne, however, was not having any of it, let me tell you. We saw that she was resenting it, as opposed to Bobby, who, like, surprisingly enough, was, you know, accepting of it, like, in a heartbeat. But thankfully, later on, after a little talk with Maria and seeing how the Casa Grandes decorated her room, she then decided they should stay, and lo and behold, the Casa Grandes was born many months after. So it really is mainly because of Maria and her driving her and her family there in Great Lake City. That was sort of a prelude to what is to become of the Santiago's new home. So yes, I do thank Maria for it.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing too is the fact that Maria had to bring out the bad news to both Bobby and Ronnie Anne, the fact that they're going to move into Great Lake City. So the thing is that when we first thought about that, you're kind of thinking like, oh, we're not going to see Ronnie Anne anymore. Because after that episode, you're kind of feeling like, where's Ronnie Anne? Where's Ronnie Anne? Yes, she did come back and back out there. But no Ronnie Anne anymore because she's now in Great Lake City. But the thing is that what was great about this, though, is the fact that, like, you know, came to us with an idea that says, like, why can't we actually have a show talking about this other family? And lo and behold, we have the Casa Grande show. And what I like about this, too, is the fact that, like, the Loud House even, like, hinted that they're going to go back to Great Lake City to talk about a Casa Grande's episode. They're going to have a mini series of pretty much all Casa Grandes. So to say the least, though, if it wasn't for Maria to pretty much put that move and actually make them stay in Great Lake City, look, we wouldn't have had the Casa Grandes show right now. Like, seriously, like, none of this would have happened if it wasn't for her.
Exactly. Like, we the fans are grateful for Maria for contributing to what's to come with the Casa Grandes. Let me tell you, I think we're even more grateful to her than the show itself for Nickelodeon is, because let me tell you, from what we've seen, Maria has like little to no episodes focusing on her. And that is such, you know, it's just blasphemy. It's just like, it's just
nuts. Exactly, right? Look, ever since she started like bringing the kids to Great Lake City, where's the episodes for her? She's just a nurse, pretty much stressed out, which we'll explain later in the show. But I'm just saying, where is more episodes for Maria? Like, there's nothing else. She's just a nurse. That's it.
Seriously, just why? That's,
I mean, like, she got introduced as a nurse in the Loud House, but then like you move her to Great Lake City, and then, you know, you were thinking, oh, she's a great mom for bringing Ronnie Anne and Bobby into this great family, and looks like they're gonna have a fun time together. Except we see more of the Casa Grandes, but not Maria, which I don't know why. We want to thank her and have her have like some awesome episodes, but no, Maria's just pretty much a nurse.
Yeah, honestly, and I especially appreciate her character, like, as a son of a mom who does work in healthcare. She's a respiratory therapist. So honestly, as a son of a mom who does work in the healthcare department, this makes me, like, especially appreciate her even more. So honestly, like, this is something, like, as someone as that and a Casa Grande fan, like, this is something that, you know, I want to see in season 3, like, you know, happen. Like, give more episodes to her, give more focus to her, give more backstories to her. Make her a full-fledged character just like the rest of the family.
Exactly. But at the moment, we did have a couple episodes in season 3. I mean, Date with Destiny was actually pretty striking. Wouldn't you agree?
I believe so. Yeah, Date with Destiny was quite an episode. If I could describe Date with Destiny, it would be this. Horoscope 2.
Yeah. Now here's the thing. I want to bring in a what if situation, Ovid. Looking back at the episode, what were your thoughts if, for example, Maria went with Ronnie Anne's word and moved back to Royal Woods? What big difference would happen if this occurred?
And now we must ponder the question: what if?
Okay, watcher.
I just love what if scenarios. They're really fun. Honestly, I think things would have been different because we never would have gotten Casa Grandes. We would have gotten much less screen time with Ronnie Anne and Bobby. And in turn, we would have gotten much less Maria. So honestly, I think moving to Great Lake City was a good call for the sake of all these characters and for the sake of having their own spinoff show. Because let's say the spinoff show never happened, Ronnie Anne and Bobby would not have been as prominent as they are now. Because if we do still have Loud House, of course, we still got episodes focusing on Lincoln and his family. And, you know, all that stuff. Like, they would have given as much focus of Ronnie Anne as they would have of, let's say, Zach, Liam, Rusty, and Stell, which is pretty scarce and only when needed.
Look, if they actually did move back to Royal Woods, I think people are just pretty much going to say, like, okay, so you pretty much moved back, and they're pretty much going to be playing as secondary characters again. Like, you're not going to see a lot of Ronnie, and you're not going to see a lot of Bobby. So, yeah, what's the point? Also, the other thing, too, is, like, I was scared also the fact that if Ronnie Anne did leave the Loud House, that we were not going to see her anymore because, you know, she left the Loud House. She went to Great Lake City. So, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, are we going to see any more episodes? So when I have the feeling of if Ronnie Anne and the family did move back, it kind of feels like we're going to leave out the Casa Grandes and not going to see them again. It kind of sucks because it's like, I love CJ. I love Maria. I love CJ. I love Rosa. I love Hector. I love Carl and everybody else in the Casa Grandes. I'm like, if we're going to be pretty much like having one episode just about them, then we're not going to have them again if they actually did move back to Royal Woods. So,
like, honestly, like, I think the biggest crime that not having a Casa Grandes spinoff could ever commit, honestly, it's not related to Maria, but it's related to Ronnie Anne, because it would have squandered the potential and the opportunity for Ronnie Anne to have her own fleshed out, developed character arc like she did in Post-Relative Chaos and the Casa Grandes, because we've seen her blossom, we've seen her flourish, we've seen her grow into this fun, social person as opposed to what she was in Royal Woods.
She's not the same old bully like what like we've seen back in season one. We've known that she was like a person who's like really caring in the Shell Shock. I think it just absolutely grows, especially when you see her in the Casa Grandes, which is great because it's like Ronnie Anne is a great character now. She's not that one bland character that's just going to be a bully to Lincoln.
Yeah, so, she's not OG Helga.
Oh God. But yeah, I mean, it just makes you think though. Like, if we did actually see Ronnie Anne move back with Maria and Bobby back to Royal Woods after that episode Relative Chaos, it kind of tells you like we wouldn't have had the Casa Grandes. So to say the least, though, I mean, it was the decision of Ronnie Anne to stay, because the thing is that Maria would actually just follow with whatever Ronnie Anne was going to say until Ronnie Anne started to, you know, pretty much like warm up to the Casa Grandes. It just tells you like Ronnie Anne's a great character and that there's so much potential for her that she needs to actually have her own show, hence the Casa Grandes that we have right now.
Yeah, honestly, the Casa Grandes was really good for Ronnie Anne's character. Going back to the grammatical error, I meant to say New Helga, not OG Helga. What am I saying? She would have been New Helga if she moved back to Royal Woods, I'm just saying.
I mean, like, she would be as a bully like Helga, but not as mean. I don't know. I mean, she is kind of tsundere.
Yeah, it's like, Baka Lincoln. It's not like Amanda Baka Lincoln.
Now, let's talk more about Maria, because, look, she's just a nurse. We just saw her as a nurse, you know, in Royal Woods. Now she's a nurse over in Great Lake City. But you never expected to see her just stressed out 24/7. We know how busy nurses can be taking care of patients in hospitals. That is definitely takes a toll on them, especially for Maria. From the early episodes of the Casa Grandes, it really hasn't been a break for her. I mean, like in the Loudest Thanksgiving, for example, Ronnie and Bobby would celebrate Thanksgiving at the hospital due to Maria's work. And that's where they would celebrate the holidays there. Explain your thoughts when you heard about this from the episode. I mean, did you think the move to Great Lake City was definitely necessary for Maria?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. Who wants to spend Thanksgiving at a hospital? Really, who really wants to celebrate Thanksgiving at a hospital? That's like celebrating Christmas at a cemetery. Potential Lucy Christmas episode, perhaps. Honestly, I think this is one of the reasons why this move was a huge step for the family. Not only do they get to be closer to their extended family, but they actually get to have a fun, and I mean legitimately fun, Thanksgiving holiday together.
I think my thing is that, you know, under the stress that Maria has been having, I mean, I guess Royal Woods was really stressful for her. Nonetheless, I mean, celebrating over at a hospital for Thanksgiving, and everybody tells you, like, okay, it's just the three of them. It's not going to be as fun as compared to, like, going to the Casa Grandes and celebrating Thanksgiving there. So, yeah, I believe when the move came in and we actually knew about the Casa Grandes, it makes sense for them to actually, you know, have a fun have a fun time together with the Casa Grandes, have Maria, Ronnie Anne, and Bobby actually have a fun time with the Casa Grandes, not actually just chill and have stressful times, like in a hospital, for example, and actually celebrate Thanksgiving. That's weird. That's really weird.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, okay, this was really funny when they thought that Maria was covered in blood, but then it turns out that it was some sort of cranberry sauce. Like, that joke gets me every time.
Pretty sure it does. still, though, I mean, she's a very stressed out lady. I mean, freak, she even takes a lot of coffee, too. And you can look back at that one episode.
Oh, I can relate. Hey, trust me, like, as someone who does have to get up early at the morning for work, let me just say, I can relate.
That's like all of us, right?
That's all black. So, am I right?
Now, here's the thing. And the other episode I also want to point out is Vacation Days. I mean, Maria and Ronnie Anne plan to have a day together since this is the only time they would have a day off. But throughout the day, Maria just needed rest. What can you say from this episode here about the stress that Maria's under?
Now, I'm going to say this right now. Vacation Days is the most underappreciated episode of the entire series. It's one of my top favorite episodes, and it is a damn shame that it doesn't get talked about nearly as much, because it gives me what I wish that the show would give me more often. Not only more Maria-focused episodes, but also Maria episodes that focus on her relationship with her children, especially Ronnie Anne. Because we have seen throughout the course of both La Casa Casa Grandes that due to work, she rarely has the time to spend time with her children. And let me tell you, it could take a toll on not just Maria herself, because she has to work 24/7, but also Ronnie Anne. Excuse me. It also takes a toll on her children too, particularly Ronnie Anne, because they feel like, you know, because they're busy with their lives, they don't have the time to, you know, spend time with each other as a family. So honestly, I do like that Vacation Days really does delve into that problem.
Yeah, and my thing about this is the fact that, like, you know, yeah, I understand she's working really stressfully too. I mean, from the fact that, like, throughout all the times that you always see her go to work, she's always stressed out. I mean, even the stress lines on her eyes kind of tells you, like, how bad she gets. In this episode, it just feels like, you know, when the day off comes, everybody wants to go with her. Like, oh, like, Carl wants to talk to Maria, or Carlota wants to have a date, like, give Maria a date. But it's all about Ronnie Anne and Maria that they promised. But still, I mean, the tension that Maria has is quite a lot if you see what happened in that episode. Because not only does Ronnie Anne want to have, like, time off with her mom, but everybody else in the Casa Grandes want too. Because of the fact that, like, that's her only day off. And, yeah, you got to understand why the family misses her.
Exactly.
So I feel bad for her, especially in this episode, because I understand how compelling a mother should be to their, like, daughter, for example. And her being all stressed out and being all rest, like, all sleepy and all this junk, it just makes me feel so sad for Maria, because, yeah, I know she wants to be, like, a great mom to Ronnie Anne, but with all the stress that's weighing down on her, it just makes me feel sad for her. And I love the fact that in the end, in that episode where, like, Ronnie Anne just pretty much gave Maria or her mom just the bed for her to sleep on, it's just more of like, wow, I can't believe Ronnie is so caring to her mom. It's not all about her selfishness that she wants to hang out with her mom. She's actually caring for her mom as well, and, you know, helped her out by making her rest before her next shift came in.
Exactly. And it's sort of like, it's sort of a small continuity, a nice touch of continuity to Shell Shocked, because it shows, like, this shows more of Ronnie Anne's nurturing side that she gets from her mother, where pretty much Ronnie Anne does help tend and nurture to Maria in return. Like, it's not just Maria that, you know, acts motherly and tends to Ronnie Anne. It sort of goes both ways.
Right. So, yeah, that's all I can actually say about, like, her being stressful. Omid, what other episodes did you want to bring up regarding Maria stressed out as a nurse?
Now, for the next prime example, this doesn't necessarily play a huge significant role in the episode per se, but there's this moment where Maria is so stressed from work, and I mean stressed to the max, that we see her craving for coffee in the morning. I can relate, okay? But in order to save power, she had a chew energy gum to stay up, and, you know, and pretty much not only that, but she even gets a personal foot massage from her daughter, Ronnie Anne, okay? And I'm just going to say right now, I'd give Maria a foot massage after she came home from work. I'm just saying. And of course, what I'm talking about is Power Play for Casa Grande's really solid episode.
I think the one part in that episode that you pointed out on me was the fact that she even tried to like get out of coffee and end up actually getting energy ground, which actually made it worse for her. Made it worse for her.
Look at that. The animators did a fantastic job with the eyes, like how you see those curly red lines that show you know, just how stressed he is. Like, it's those little details that really does add to the character design, that really adds to the expression of the character. And let me just say, major props to the character animators and character designers for this.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of tells you, like, how stressed out Maria could be, especially as a nurse. So why not have a lax time off with actually having some energy gum? That turned out to be, well, kind of like this. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't try energy gum now. So let's head over to another subject that we want to bring up. Okay, yes, she's a stressful nurse. But the other thing, too, is that from the episodes that we've been watching recently, her past really intrigues us. What really boggles me from the recent episode of the Casa Grande is who the heck Maria is, especially how she is in the past life when she was like a young kid. Let's start off with the other man whom she really liked. No, I'm not talking about Arturo. I'm talking about this man named T-Bone. From the episodes like VIP, The Date with Destiny, we learned that Maria and him had a relationship that no one knew. So we would learn about her wild past, that she sneaks out to go into concerts with him. Seriously, though, how surprising was that when you heard about this, about Maria?
You know, it's one of those small moments that make us see that Maria is more than what she seems. It's one of those first moments that got us thinking there's more to Maria than just being a nurse and a Santiago mother. You know, there's more to her than just meets the eye. And I feel that, like, VIP especially started that sort of character observation.
It's weird because it's the first thing that I see from Maria. The fact is like, oh, yeah, you're just a mom who's pretty much chilling with the Casa Grandes. It isn't until this episode where I finally figured out what the heck happened to this woman. I didn't expect her to be having a wild and crazy side. I didn't expect her having a wild and crazy side, you know, jumping off of stages, you know,
yes,
getting into rock concerts. And the fact that I heard that she sneaks out to go to concerts. And I'm like, whoa, this is something that teenagers do. Okay, that makes sense. But now look at her. She's like a composed nurse. No, back then.
Unleash your inner Luna Loud. It was at this moment that Maria Santiago became Luna Loud.
No. Okay, yeah, just because of one sneak out concert, I guess. Still, though, it was surprising to hear that. I'm like, wow, I didn't expect this mom to be so crazy sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Like this really does give me some sort of impression that it's like, ooh, okay, I want to see more of this, Maria. I want to see more of the wild, you know, crazy, you know, fun-loving Maria that we rarely see. And, you know, of course, in several episodes down the line, we do see that rebellious side of Maria. We really do. And let me just say that I'm proud of her for it.
God. You know, that going into deeper waters there, Omid, but we'll let it slide. So here's the other thing too. We talked about this guy named T-Bone. What about this relationship with T-Bone? Do you think it would have really worked out if the date actually went well? Say, for example, like a date with Destiny.
If he wasn't such a big baby over freaking pineapples over things, like, it could have worked. Yeah. Now, of course, I can understand if it was, well, let's say pineapple over pizza. I don't put pineapples over pizza, by the way. And he'll just and Boon Choi. But pineapples itself, come on. Just freaking pineapples. Seriously, you're being a huge baby. You're being scared of pineapples for some reason. Come on. Maria deserves a real man. She deserves a real man.
No, just the thing about this whole Date with Destiny episode, especially this part. I didn't know they actually dated, by the way. So it kind of tells me, it goes back to VIP, where it kind of tells me like, oh, they did date when they were sneaking out to concerts and all. And they actually meet up in this part of the episode. And I have a feeling like Maria does like T-Bone. And if the date actually turned out well, then they may have had a relationship. And I'm pretty sure Ronnie and Bobby are going to be so pissed about that. still, though, I mean, it makes me think, like, man, how affectionate was Maria to T-Bone throughout that time? Like, I believe it actually happened, like, before she met up with Otoro. I don't know. It feels weird. Like, when I saw about this, I feel like, oh, maybe there's potential for Maria to actually date T-Bone again. But wait, they were exes? When did this happen? Like, back in VIP, when we actually learned that she was actually sneaking out to concerts? Somebody give me some backstory. We don't have backstory. Casa Grande, please let me explain this to me, please.
Look at this.
Like, there's a lot of dark holes. There's a lot of dark holes when you hear about this kind of stuff.
Look at this. I think the image speaks for itself right there. Like, you see the blush. You see the way she looks at T-Bone. That image right there pretty much says it all.
I swear to God, like, you know, now it kind of makes me think, like, what's the next episode, Maria? What's the next Maria focus episode? Are we going to actually have, like, a flashback episode where Maria and T-Bone actually meet? And maybe that's the same time where Arturo also met Maria. Just a heads up, Big City Greens did this before. I mean, they did this in a season 2 episode, by the way.
Yeah, they really did. Like, coincidentally enough, that revolved around, like, divorced parents as well, like, similar to how this one did.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, Omid. What ideas do you have hearing about this part of Maria's past? Like, how she got the wild attitude, how she had the courage to sneak out of concerts, to go to, you know, and all this kind of wild stuff that Maria did?
You know, I think that the more you hear about Maria's past, the more you think to yourself, there's actually potential to make full-on, legit Casa Grande flashback episodes. Like there's actually, I've said before that there should be much more Maria episodes than we already got. Well, part of that could be like some of it could be revolved around Maria's past, like how she met Arturo, how she got into concerts, and most importantly, how she became a nurse. So I feel that there's actually a lot of ground to work with in terms of Maria's past, honestly. That there's a lot of story potential you could do with this.
There's a lot of story potential, but the thing right now is the fact that, like, I believe we started it off, like, early in season 1. In season 2, we get more of it. In season 3, we definitely got more of it. Here's the thing. We just started season 3. So it kind of tells me, like, if they're going to put another Maria episode, then there has to be a more potential past, right? Potential past moments that happen with Maria.
Yeah, but then, like, sadly, it's all getting shafted away because wacky hijinks and, you know, Carl episodes, like, overload. Carl episodes, overload.
Look, season two had a lot of Carl, okay? We get it. How about the rest of the Casa Grandes, please? I mean, I don't know how many episodes of Carlota we got. I think we had, like, 2 or 3. And we had, like, what, 8-plus Carl episodes?
Exactly. Like, there has to be a balance. I think the problem with Casa Grande's, like, especially recently, was how there seems to be a bit of a lack of balance in terms of the amount of episodes focused on certain Santiago and Casa Grande's characters. Like you've got, like, a majority of episodes are focused on one Casa Grande, while the other gets, you know, a few episodes here and there.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you're going to keep it evenly anyway. So let's say, for example, like, you'll have a Ronnie-Anne episode here or there because she is the main character. But you also do have potential of, like, other characters that can also have new episodes. I mean, is this a Casa Grande's after all? So I'd imagine, like, you have a Carlota episode, you have a Carl episode, you have a CG episode, you have a Maria episode, a Frida episode, a Carlos episode, because there's so much potential in that. But I know that you only have 24 episodes per season. Still, though, there's a chance you could actually put, like, 3 or 4 episodes of, like, a Maria, three or four 15-minute episodes of Maria somewhere in there. And then exactly. We can actually learn more about her past.
You have, like, you have the material right there, Casa Grandes. Work with it. I'm just saying.
Maybe they just tried to, like, unravel it like a present. Like, this is just one part of her secret. Here's another part. And I'm like, what is she?
Yeah, coincidentally enough, you brought the present wrapping allegory. The present wrapping analogy during a time of wrapping up presents. That's a pretty
This is why it's Christmassy. Right? We don't make it Christmassy.
In fact, what we're talking about right now could be a potential Christmas gift for us.
Okay, so here's the other thing too, though. I mean, yeah, we get it. She had a crazy past considering that she wants to go out to concerts and do all this crazy stuff. But the other thing too is that she's actually a pretty studious student. I mean, in her high school, she actually did partake in clubs that would name her, like, the most likely person to travel the world. but instead she couldn't be able to achieve that goal because she needed to raise her two kids. But that was an adventure she always wanted. So what can you say about her high school life, knowing that she went through all these clubs and actually was like very popular there?
It was actually quite an exhilarating life that Maria lived, especially high school. And let me tell you, like, her high school life does have potential to have a series of Maria flashback episodes on their own. Like I said, there's a lot of ground to work with in terms of what we know about Maria so far, with the flashbacks and these hints, these fun facts and all that stuff. Let me tell you, you have the material right then and there. And I honestly don't understand why, like, they should have worked on it, like, you know, long ago.
Yeah, but still, I don't know. They put more focus on the other characters. Maria is the, like, backstory person of the Casa Grandes that we never really think about, but now we actually want to think about her now.
No, she deserves better. She deserves better.
I have another what if scenario for you. So what did you think life would be for Maria if she ended up actually having that trip around the world?
Not only would there be an episode revolving around it, but honestly, that would be an entire series in and of itself. Call it Postcards from Maria. It's kind of like that Buster spinoff show in which Buster Baxter travels to different countries. Like, that's sort of similar to this.
I'm kind of like feeling if she actually traveled the world. Here's the other thing too. Like, I feel like if she wasn't crazy about her past, she would be that one person to actually travel the world before she ended up having Ronnie Anne and Bobby. You know, there's a potential chance you could have actually had that, but I don't know what happened in your past. I felt like you had that experience. You had the chance. Your high school was actually pretty fun. You went through like all these clubs, but you ended up, I don't know. See, this is the other black hole I was talking about. What happened between high school and your crazy years?
Like, there's so much we know about her, and yet at the same time, there's so much we don't know about her. Like, honestly, that's why this podcast episode is called The Mystery of Maria Santiago. Because, yes, there's more to her than meets the eye. But at the same time, though, because there's, like, so many episodes that, because there's so much focus given to the other Casa Grandes and Santiago's, there's still more about Maria that we need to know about. And I feel like the only way that we can know about Maria, like, you know, fully, completely, like, to sort of, like, fill that hole is if we get more Maria episodes.
Exactly. I think we're already going down to the point here, but to say the least, though, we still have a lot more to talk about for her past. Still, though, I mean, it makes me think, though, like, if she actually did do this whole travel thing, would we have Ronnie Anne and Bobby right now?
I feel that she would have her own kids, like, after she was done traveling. I feel like she would have had Ronnie Anne and Bobby, but on a much later date, on much, like,
in the future. Like, you know, like, for adults right now, I know that they always want to say, like, live your best life until you, like, feel tired when you're ready to, like, settle down and actually have kids. I feel like that's the whole thing that we're missing here. Like, I feel like Maria actually did have, like, this whole lifestyle for her to actually, you know, live her best life until she had to settle down and have Rodiette and Bobby. But
yeah, I feel like... Like, she would have had kids of her own, like, in the future instead of the present.
I feel like if we're going to think about that, I feel like she settled down already. But it feels like before she settled down and actually, you know, had Roddy and Bobby, I feel like she did all these crazy stuff. But the other thing, too, is that maybe one of them would have actually been your chance to go around the world. But you missed out on that and raised Roddy and Bobby.
but then like the closest thing she got to it, thankfully, the closest she got to it was Guilt Trip, in which technically Ronnie Anne and Bobby did take her all over the world. And when I say all over the world, I mean, like, they went to many Italian, Korean, Japanese restaurants and all that stuff, basically all the you know, touristy stuff in a Great Lakes City. So in a way she did kind of travel, but not literally.
Yeah, nonetheless, though, I mean, It still ended up to becoming like one of the best episodes of the Casa Grandes here.
I agree. Guilt Trip is a very solid and touching episode.
All right. So yeah, like I said, like, her past was mostly kind of crazy, but at the same time, also pretty like well knowing the fact that she's actually was a really cool high school student. But here's the other thing too about it. Maria, on the other hand, has weird attitudes, would you say, Omid? Because when Maria becomes chill, is there like some sort of dark side when it comes to Maria? So let me sum it up here. We only have one point to bring up for this topic, but when she's chill and relaxed, there's something about her that makes me feel like she's really off. I mean, if you look back at the episode Chancla Force, when the Chancla is off Rose's hand, the wild side of Maria comes in. In that episode, she seems pretty careless, has the attitude that would come from your teenage years. But then again, it kind of happened to like all the adults as well. To say the least, it's a new side to Maria. What are your thoughts seeing her like this?
Oh, not only do I like it, I love it. Love it.
What?
And in many ways, I am, for lack of a better term, infatuated with it. It's the side of Maria that really turns me on. Let me tell you, man.
You're too much info. No, stop. Too much information, by the way. What the heck?
I mean, look at that. She's got her feet up on the table. She's wearing casual clothes, and she's like holding the ball, like as if she's drinking. You know what? Like, let me tell you, man. Like, there's a side of Maria that I want to see hell a lot more often. Like, I want to see her come out of her Koopa shell, per se.
See her come out of her shell? Yeah, I guess. I feel like there's like that one time where like maybe she's like too stressed out that she cracks, and then she comes all crazy just like this, for example. Look, she's not under strict rules by her mom, so she ends up being like this. Like, without the nurse's outfit, she ends up not with a sweater. She's just pretty much chillaxing like a teenager with socks on and even drinking chocolate syrup. So what am I looking at?
You're looking at the Maria that's, you know, let loose, let be free, you know, all that stuff.
And to say the least, like, for a parent to let loose like this, is it something that you see from like a parent like Maria?
Oh yeah, this is the kind of this is a side I want to see more often.
I get it. Omid loves moms who love to like get out of her shell, I guess.
Koopa shells.
Okay, well, here's the other thing too. We haven't seen a lot of Maria like this, but do you want to see more of her in episodes like
this? Oh hell yeah. There's, like I said, there's grounds. There's potential to work with this side of Maria. As I said before, just like the flashback episodes. There's a whole lot more potential that you could do with this side of Maria. Like, for example, let's say she wants to go to a concert of a band that she's been a fan of since she was a teenager. But then she either has a shift or a long chore that Rosa tells her to do. And I think one way you could definitely help this work out is that if you have like Ronnie Anne or Carl help her sneak out to go to the concert like she always did. Like as told in VIP'd.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. I mean, it'd be cool to actually see her more like this, but I don't know. Like the more composed Maria is what we've been seeing recently so far. It's just one moment like this where I get to see like, what? Maria's just like this? Can we see more of her like in her past? Maybe this is what's her in her past, right? Where she's just pretty much relaxing, like having her feet up on the table, things like that. I'm like, this is what happens when you're a teenager, when you actually don't have rules. Oh, maybe you were a rebellious kid when you were in your teenage years. Maria, you have a lot to think of. I have a lot to think about for you.
Unfortunately, though, this part actually turned out to not be real because it was all part of Carl's dream. I was like, damn it, I wanted this smart moment to be real. I wanted this moment to be real. Come on.
No, not make you think. Like, was Maria actually like this, like chillax when you back in her past without the chancla, without her mom's like permission or things like that?
Well, it's been hinted at in episodes like VIP, like I said, and we even see her more playful moments where she bickers with Carlos. You know how in episodes like Tales from the Crypt. Remember Tales from the Crypt? How or Fales from the Crypt? How like Maria and Carlos were sort of like bickering as brother and sister. And we'd be like, yeah. Oh, you gotta cry. It's just like,
yeah, I love that one.
That's another example of her.
That's another thing too. But the thing is, like, this is like sibling, like this is sibling rivalry stuff. But then again, like, you see Carlos and Maria actually, like, acting like kids. Even if they're adults, they're acting like kids. You saw this at Very Consagrados Christmas and Fails from the Crypt, for example. Both of them would be like, Ma, Maria's, like, throwing elotes at me, and then they start fighting with it. And I'm like, what is this? Why did you ever see this from, I never see this from parents. I never said that to be, like, all immature like this.
Like, you've got a nurse and a college professor bickering and fighting as if they're still 8 years old. What?
I know. I mean, like, you have adults who are acting like kids, and it feels like, I feel like they're trying to relate to us, saying, like, yeah, you can still be a kid even though you're, like, really old.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of like what Casagrandes did right there. I do like what Casagrandes did right there, because let's be honest, even at this age, like, even at Carlos and Maria's age right now, like, they still have their immature moments, okay? I'm just saying.
They do.
Like, we all have our immature moments,
even as adults. You see it randomly in Casagrandes episodes. Like, there's only, like, a one small moment. Like, say, for example, in, like, Fails from the Crypt, where you get to see Maria and Carlos just continue to, sibling fight each other, which I thought was, like, pretty funny. But it also does trend on with other episodes as well. So it tells me, like, okay, so this is a trait that both of them will have. Which I think is, first off, it's funny. Second off, pretty weird. Like, I never actually acted like that to my sister, okay? So.
You're saying you never did?
How about your brother, Omid?
Well, not at that level, no.
See, look what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Okay. Either way, though, I feel like a chill side to Maria feels like we've seen the dark side of Maria, where she's like, oh, yeah, chill side is like, Maria's not that stressed. She's just, you know, a nurse that is pretty much like under pressure some of the times. But if you actually get her to a chill side, watch out. She's actually like possibly like maybe kind of kiddish.
Yeah.
Which I find it to be like, what?
I think that sort of represents every adult. Like, they want to blow off steam. And so they want to blow off steam after, like, you know, hard day of work and all that stuff, and the way they could blow off steam as if they do something pleasurable, they do something it's doing something that's, you know, related to being kiddish in a sense. So I would say like part of it is unleashing her wild side, but I would say another part of it is blowing off her steam as a hardworking nurse.
Yeah Still though, I mean, like, it would be cool if we actually see this again, like a Maria who's just like to boss around her brother, or at the same time, like, be like a kid, like in what you saw in Chocolate Force.
Oh yeah.
All right. So here, now let's actually move on to other things about Maria. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we actually do not know about. The fact that there's some unsolved mysteries about Maria. One obvious story we want to know is how the heck did Maria and Arturo get to be separated. We thought we would have something in the episode Date with Destiny, but to no avail. In fact, I believe it's still awkward having these two still meet in, as you see in Operation Dad. Omid, you have been begging this for a long time for this in the Casagrandes. Do we think we need one soon to actually answer the question why these two got divorced?
Oh, let me tell you, Maria and Arturo's divorce backstory. We've been craving it for years. We've been craving it for months. And it's pretty much the top number one $1 million question. Why did Arturo and Maria divorce in the first place? That's a $1 million question. No, $1 billion question. And to that I say, I would say if we do get it, that would be great. Like, I've been wanting it for a long time myself, believe me. But if we don't get it, let's say we never get it. And the reason being is, from what we can speculate, is because they just feel that they weren't meant to be. Then you know what? I think Date with Destiny shows that that's okay too. I know some people are technically begging for a Maria and Arturo's divorce backstory. And believe me, as much as I want one myself, and I really do want one myself, I ask you guys, please, just chill. Because backstory or not, Maria and Arturo still work as good characters and still work as friends. And Date with Destiny shows this.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that the one thing I want to hear about the whole breakup between Maria and Arturo is the fact how they did that. I mean, look, I mean, Roddy and Bobby are awesome characters. I mean, they're raised under Maria. The thing is that the one time they'll actually see Arturo is when he actually moved back into Great Lake City. FYI, still kind of a little iffy about that Operation Dead ending. I mean,
I still am too. Trust me, believe me.
Yeah. Now you have Arturo back in Great Lake City. Now they're going to be hanging out together. Now you actually have to have. You actually need to have that answer. Why did we not actually have these two separated? I mean, first off, Arturo is not even the Casa Grande's like building himself. He has to like move to some place in Great Lake City. But Maria is still there. So the only time Arturo would come in is like, say, for example, like visit Bobby, like in the Mercado. So seriously, though, I mean, if we're going to have these two in the same city, there has to be an answer, or else this is just going to be awkward having these two, you know, just hang out, like meet up together. I mean, you can see in Operation Dad, like, oh, yeah, Arturo is coming to visit. Maria is just pretty much having a vacation for a week. Okay, please answer that question, please. Why is Maria not want to talk to Arturo?
I know. I mean, aren't they, you know, technically good friends, technically? Like, they still have good interactions with each other.
Because, like, so say for, like, example, the scene we're looking at right now. Look, it's very awkward. Like, in Operation Dad, the whole entire episode was just more of Arturo hanging out with Ronnie Anne and Bobby. But Maria's just absolutely out of the picture. It doesn't until Date with Destiny that kind of tells you, like, okay, they're having a mutual agreement here. But it's not as big, not as romancing. They're just, you know, they're just separate people. They're not, like, fighting or anything like that. Just separate people.
So similar, it just tells similar to Bill and Nancy in Big City Greens, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, it feels like Bill and Nancy actually, like, are, you know, okay together. But in this situation, it feels like there is still no resolve. It feels like they're just only like, oh, yeah, let me talk to you about Ronnie Ann's plans. Let me talk to you about Bobby's plans. There's still no answer about, like, the whole, yeah, that's it. And I'm like, there should be probably more, like, to talk about when it comes to, like, how these two got split and how these two actually got into a mutual agreement between the kids. Because, you know, it's something, it is a lot to think about, but it'd be cool if we actually have, like, a straight answer in the Casa Grande if it actually does pop up.
Yeah, because another thing too, it's not like this. It's not like either of them are deadbeats or anything like that. Both of them are respected, you know, nurse and doctor respectively. Like, they're both really respective, you know, employees in the healthcare facility. So, you know, based on that, you like, there's, it makes me think, okay, there's got to be some sort of, you know, legit reason, because it can't be down to bitterness. It could be due to, like, disagreements about how they raised Ronnie Anne and Bobby, but I think that's all what it really comes down to, really.
Here's the thing that you pointed out when it comes to big, like, for example, Big City Greens with the divorced parents of Bill and Nancy. Still, the thing is that Nancy is starting to become a main character for the Big City Greens because she's been popping up more often and she actually is caring to both Cricket and Tilly. Arturo does come in. He'll have his own episode, but he doesn't have that interaction with Maria. Are you following along with that?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That, you know, for one, we don't see Arturo, you know, very often in the Casa Grandes, at least not nearly as much as we see Nancy in Big City Greens. And two is that other than Operation Dad and Date with Destiny, we don't really see them on screen together in other episodes. And I'm saying that, like, now Date with Destiny has opened doors, opened windows to the potential of, you know, giving development to Maria and Arturo's, you know, friendship after the divorce. And it could even, what may even be included in future Maria and or Arturo episodes is the divorce backstory. So, like, if it comes, then yes, I'm definitely happy that Rick got it. But then if we don't, I feel that's okay too, as long as the stories themselves in these episodes are well executed.
Yeah. That makes me think about another what-if situation, Omid. But this is more of your thought. This is more of like your thoughts. Omid, how did you think the breakup for Maria and Arturo was?
All right, time to unleash my watcher persona again. It's now time to ponder the question. What if? Okay, now let's say, okay, now I think what happened was that how Maria and Arturo broke up, how they got divorced, it's probably due to, like I said, disagreements, particularly with how they raised Ronnie Anne and Bobby. or it could be simply due to the fact that, you know, they just weren't meant to be. Sort of like Teacher Spread, but done actually good, you know?
God, no, don't remind me of that episode now. Poor excuses to actually break up a couple. God damn it, Arturo.
Exactly. It's like, it's a reason similar to that, but this time around, it's not a poor excuse to conclude the episode or to resolve them half-assedly. It actually does help. If, let's say, Maria and Arturo do go this route, it helps gives a sense of realism into divorced parents in that you don't necessarily need to have a, you know, big, huge, like, turning point reason, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to necessarily have a breaking point to Maria and Arturo's divorce. It could just be that, like, after really thinking about it, they just realized that they weren't meant to be. Because yeah, that's what happens with divorced parents, too.
Here's my prediction on, like, how they broke up. Look, they're both nurses, so I'd imagine that they did hook up in nursing school. So they hooked up, had kids, Ronnie Ann and Bobby. But I felt like something happened along the way where they're kind of like, it can't work out. I feel like the thing that kind of got me into it, well, I feel like the way that they kind of broke up was the fact that, like, Arturo's going to Peru, is going to be living there in Peru, and Maria cannot handle a long-distance relationship. That's how I think it is.
You know, now that you mentioned it, that could be actually a legit reason why they would divorce in the first place, is that she can't handle long-distance relationship. And so, as a result, they do divorce because of that. And it's like, that's actually a legit reason to break up. That doesn't include tension. It doesn't include bitterness. It doesn't include rivalry. No, it's just that the circumstances do not really help to the marriage's favor.
Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, though, I mean, like, even through the awkwardness and all, the fact that still Maria and Arturo still are, you know, just mutual buddies together, and the fact that they're also being buddies for their kids, I think it's just a good resolution. Don't you think, Omid?
I think so, too. I honestly do think so, too. Like I said, backstory or not, Maria and Arturo still work as good friends, and they still work as good characters, regardless of whether we know or not how they got divorced in the first place.
Right. So, nonetheless, I mean, for the end of Date with Destiny, I must say that actually was, like, a good ending to go off with. They are not, like, a bickering couple, but to say the least, they end up with a resolution, the fact that their kids are going to be satisfied with. So, yeah. So, here's the thing. Knowing that Maria had a wild past, there should have been a changing point to her that made her become a nurse. I mean, she even said it in Date with Destiny, but we didn't actually see the fact that, why were you a nurse? Why did you turn into a nurse? Wouldn't it have been great to actually have that revealed in the episode?
Okay, I'm just going to say right now. Casa Crew, let me tell you something. You thought that we got robbed of a divorce backstory? Let me tell you, that is nothing compared to how this episode took away the potential for a legit nurse backstory. How did Maria become the nurse that we all know and love in the first place? Really? I honestly think it's worse than not having the divorce backstory. At least whether or not we have a divorce backstory in the first place, at least, like, we can, you know, accept that, okay, Maria and Arturo, you know, maybe things didn't work out and such. But how did she become a nurse in the first place? I really want to know. Was there some sort of life-changing event? Was there, like, some sort of circumstance? Because let me tell you, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think she's always aspired to become a nurse. I think she was aspired to become something else.
Look, she had a crazy past. She loved to go to a rock and roll concert. So I don't know what happened in college, but maybe something like happened where it's like, I need to turn the tides and become a nurse. I feel like after the crazy past she had, I feel like something happened where, like, say for example, like, oh my God, I'm running out of money, or Rosa actually, like, cut off your funds. So you need to actually, like, be legit about, like, what you have to do for your future. That's why she became a nurse. I feel like that could be a thing.
because I'll bet you anything, I think that based on how wild she got with the concerts and such, I think that something tells me that, like, before she became a nurse, I think Phyllis, she wanted to become a rock star.
Right, I know. Maybe becoming something like Luna is right now. So another question for you and me, like, little, like, thinking about stuff here. What are your thoughts on how Maria became a nurse? Because we were not answered that in Date with Destiny.
Okay, now I think the only one who really does know how Maria became a nurse is of course Ronnie Ann, but we don't know about it. You know, thanks a lot, Date with Destiny.
I don't think Ronnie Ann even knew about it because Maria pretty much like talked about it, but Ronnie Ann wasn't there.
All right. Right. But I think she must have told him later on. I don't know.
Nobody knows about it. Ronnie Ann, no. Maria said it like when she was in that bird thing, but then Ronnie Ann lost her. And then she ended up not listening to Maria at all about how she became a nurse. So we don't know.
Right. Good listener, right? I think there must have been some sort of... I think how Maria became a nurse is... I think there must have been some sort of incident that happened in the concert. And that's why when Maria swings into action and tried her best to heal someone who was physically hurt, possibly T-Bone, and that's when she found her calling to become a nurse so that she can help others in a way that she helped, you know... like someone who got hurt during the concert. Or maybe it's this. Maybe her parents told her that, okay, you remember how I said that Maria could potentially want, there was a one point that Maria possibly wanted to become a rock star? Well, I think that during the time when Maria aspired to be a rock star, her parents told her that being a rock star is a dream that goes nowhere, and being a nurse is a more promising career, like it's more of a job in the job market that makes money. To which I say, excuse me, I think Luna Loud might want to have a word with you, okay? If she can do it, so can your daughter, okay? I'm just saying, guys.
Well, my thing of how Maria got into it, I think the fact that I already did explain this, though. Maybe something happened where something life-changing happened. Let's say, for example, like, you ran out of money because your mom cut off your funds. No more crazy concerts for you because I think you got caught. Oh, no, you got caught when she talked about it in the VIP. I just feel like, yeah, something happened where, like, I think, like, Maria was going down, like, a dark edge area, like a dark gray area. And eventually, like, either Hector or Rosa had to come in and say, like, you need to actually talk about for your future. And that's when she started to say, like, okay, maybe I should be a nurse. Then she met up with Arturo, and then they became a couple, and then end up having Bobby and Ronnie Ann. So my feeling is that something happened, like, when she was a teenager that turned out to become, like, a nurse. Still, not answered, but it's something to think about, you know?
And that's how she became a nurse. You're such good listeners, Casa Crew.
Any other mysteries about Maria that you want to have answered as the Casa Grandes go on to season 3?
Okay, let's see. Now, other than, you know, of course, the number one theme that we've always wanted, the divorce backstory, how did Maria and Arturo meet in the first place? How did she get along with her brother Carlos when they were kids? And how did she become a nurse in the first place? We've always wanted to know. I actually want to see her when she gives a flashback when she gives birth to Bobby and Ronnie Ann. See how that's executed.
Cute. Oh my god.
Baby. Okay, first we got Baby Lincoln in the Loud House movie. Now we're gonna get Baby Ronnie Ann. I want to see that
happen. We did get Baby Ronnie Ann, remember, in senior class?
Well, okay, that's true, but that was a sort of like, see, the thing with that was that was meant to be a gag. But I'm talking about like a wholesome moment. That one that goes like, oh!
Yes, yeah, I would love that. No,
we
were
blessed with a baby child. It's like, that's what the Loud House movie Baby Lincoln felt like. I was like, I want to see a similar treatment given to a baby Ronnie Ann.
So let's say, for example, like the birth story of Ronnie Ann and Bobby, but not make it like Lotta Loud from the Loud House. I mean, that backstory that Lincoln had is absolutely stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think a president is going to take care of Ronnie Ann giving birth. Getting birth to Ronnie Ann.
Oh god. Yeah, I would imagine this. Like first Loud House does an episode in which a president helps give birth to Lincoln. I would imagine somewhere along the line where we see like wait, how did Ron and Yan become born in the first place? Oh yeah, a lumberjack helped her be born. It was a lumberjack that helped her with Ron and Yan's birth.
They were stuck on the road while Maria was in labor. So they had to go straight to lumberjack to freaking get pregnant.
believe me, it sounds as ridiculous as that.
look, the Loud House blew it when it comes to giving birth stories. Nonetheless, I mean, at least the Loud House movie actually did pick it up and actually give a good reason why they have those birth stories.
They did it far better in the movie.
Look, I didn't see a president in the movie to talk about how he got born.
Oh God. Yeah. I honestly I don't want to talk about it.
You just hope that there's actually a Casa Grande's movie where they actually talk about the birth of Ronnie Anne and Bobby. Ooh, that actually would be cool. Have an intro video having Ronnie Anne and Bobby being born from Maria and Arturo, and then it became the Casa Grandes. I would actually see the same thing for Frida and Carlos. So I would imagine that they'll also give birth to Carl, CJ, and Carlota as well.
I kind of want that to happen, yeah.
That would be pretty interesting. Oh, we got some ideas. Casa Grandes crew, I hope you're listening if we're going to have a Casa Grandes movie.
Casa Grandes movie, come on. Manifesting Casa Grandes movie, let's go.
Now, all right, so yeah, we're pretty much talked about all the mysteries of Maria, but there's one point that we want to bring up, and I'm pretty sure everyone knows about this by now. Maria definitely needs more airtime. I mean, the one point we need to have here, I mean, as of now, she's pretty much a nurse who's stressed but has a very fascinating past. I think the crew of the Casa Grandes can definitely build something out of Maria's story. Omid, would you agree on this?
Oh yeah, I mean it. Yes, Maria needs more airtime. Casa Grandes, like I said before, you have so much material to work with Maria when it comes to hints of her backstory, her high school life, how she gets along with, Carlos, Maria and Arturo. You've got all the ground. You got all the material you need right there. And you still haven't, fulfilled that potential. You still haven't taken advantage of the material. I'm just I'm going to see, at least in season four, get to it.
Here's the thing. We only have, three or four Maria episodes the entire Casa Grandes right now? I mean, yeah, I understand Frida didn't have as much episodes as well, but still, Maria was the one who brought the Casa Grandes together. You really need to actually have some honor about her. I mean, she did bring Ronnie Anne and Bobby to the Casa Grandes. We have the show now. We really need to thank Maria for everything. Why not have her have airtime? I mean, we get it. She's a nurse. She's not that boring. You gave her an awesome backstory of a past. Now, can you build from that and actually give us more future episodes of Maria where we actually get to see, say, for example, a flashback episode of Maria in her crazy days when she was hanging out at concerts and actually met up with T-Bone, or a time where Maria and Arturo did meet up and actually started dating? We would love to see those episodes, but nothing. Maria is just still the nurse that we know and love. That's it.
And I think that's because she's a hardworking nurse, and because, let's be honest, healthcare workers, and especially nowadays, healthcare workers are pretty much one of those type of people that are the real heroes of this world. Because they take good care of their patients, they bring them to good health, they pretty much do what they can to, take care of patients who are sick. And I'm just honestly, the fact that the Casa Grandes doesn't get that much focus and attention to a hardworking nurse like Maria. I don't want to speculate. I don't want to jump to conclusions or anything, but I feel the Casa Grandes isn't giving the respect to, as much respect to her as she rightfully deserves, because of how hard she works. So honestly, I feel that's kind of that's, how should I put this? That's kind of I don't want to say spin in the face, but it's slightly disrespectful to, hardworking healthcare workers like Maria.
I mean, first off, Maria, like I said, is the person that brought the Casa Grandes together. Why not have her have much focus? Because it feels like we kind of are putting her away. We get it. Ronnie Anne and Bobby are definitely are the focus people. But you also are giving some airtime to Carlos, Frida, Carlota, Rosa, Hector, everybody else. Why not our nurse? Why not the famous nurse that we all know that brought us all together? Yeah.
Not to mention, she drove all the way to Great Lake City in the first place.
This is more of a plea to the Casa Grandes crew. We need more Maria. But here's some things that we also want to talk about. Maybe there are some things that could be reason why Marie didn't have any episodes. Do you think her role as Molly's mother in The Ghost of Molly McGee may have led to the Casa Crew having less episodes to accommodate Sumali, who's the voice of her?
Now, this is something that I don't like to bring up as an excuse as to why, because I think there have been some instances where voice actors do work in multiple projects at the same time with prominent roles. Like you got Anna Akana, who, you know, voices my beloved cartoon wife, Gloria Sato in Big City Greens, and Sasha Waitbright in Amphibia simultaneously. So I feel that with Sumali, I feel that, like, you know, like this should be like kind of similar in that, like just because she's working on one role, it doesn't mean that, you know, like they should diminish like her other role because of the main role that she mm-hmm. plays. I think that they should like play both roles, like, you know, equal
I
amount.
Mean, here's, you know here's mean? The thing. I mean, here's the thing. Like Molly's mom, I forget her name, but she has a more important role in the show. If you notice the recent episodes of Molly McGee, it feels like she actually is. She had her own episode, by the way. She had her own like Gimme Mom episode or something like that. So I feel like they really are building a lot when it comes to her potential in The Ghost of Molly McGee. So why not do the same thing with Maria here in the Casa Grandes? Why not? Like, see? What am I trying to put here?
Yeah, honestly. Now, don't get me wrong. I really do like Molly's mother as well. Molly's mother is a great character, but I feel like her role as Molly's mother shouldn't outweigh her role as Maria. I think like it should be, you know, like equal amount of attention, just like, you know, what I brought with Anna Kana.
Yeah, that's true. Well, still though, I mean, like, I understand Simile is also busy. She's also an actress as well. So she could be doing her actress roles. At the same time, maybe missing out on a couple of voice acting roles. But it is what an actress is. And you just hope that, you know, the Casa crew has more Maria potentially in the future. Now it's here where we will bring up some ideas after what we've talked about in this episode. What kind of episodes should Maria have? Did you already say it, or do you want to still explain more?
Well, I feel that I should sort of like, sort of a quick wrap. Overall thoughts, like I said, give us a, you know, high school flashback episode, give us a concert flashback episode, give us like a, you know, flashback to when Maria dated T-Bone, a flashback episode to when Maria met Arturo, like most importantly, like the divorce backstory, like why did Maria and Arturo really divorce in the first place? Like I said, like there's a lot of episode material that you have. Like you have the potential, don't squander it.
Right. There's just so many to actually bring up. If you're gonna put a lot of things on her past that you've been seeing in the Casa Grandes, why not have like what Omid just pretty much said? I think all of them are pretty much what you said, Omid. I had my ideas too, and you actually said it all. Backstory, where's T-Bone and Maria? How did they first meet up? How did they start dating? Here's the other thing too. What if that actually did end up, you know, in the end of like, Date with Destiny? What if it actually did happen? Maria and T-Bone start dating. And it actually continued on, you know, Maria wanted to have a happy person. Why not have T-Bone?
Yeah. And not only that, but not only do we want flashback episodes, but we also want like, you know, current present episodes where like pretty much play it like sort of like sequel episodes to Vacation Days, where Maria spends time with Ronnie Anne, where Maria spends time with Bobby. You could definitely make those episodes work as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, like I said, there's so much potential for her. The thing is that we need those episodes to come out. I mean, obviously the number one thing we want to see is the whole backstory of like how Maria and Arturo got divorced. But I would not mind having like episodes where we get to see, like, say, for example, Maria as a teenager in high school doing all this kind of stuff, making her become like the best person in high school to go travel around the world, for example. Or you know, a backstory of saying, like, let's say, for example, in Misstep, how did she become like that one girl that loves to do the dance that Frida loves to dance?
What, the folklore, right? What's it?
No, Baye Folklorio. There you go. The Baye Folklorio.
Ah, yeah, I can't really pronounce it. Sorry.
Yeah, there should be also a thing about that. You know, maybe Rosa helped her out in making her dance the Baye Folklorio.
Yeah, that could actually potentially work, or make it like a sequel to Misstep, in which Frida tries to get Maria into the Folklorio, but you know, sort of like,
but not break her Misstep. Arm, not break her leg, but not break her leg.
Like have it play similarly to Misstep, but instead of Frida getting Ronnie Anne to do the dance, it's Frida getting Maria to do the dance.
Yeah, but she did that, remember? And they broke her leg. She broke her leg.
And see, that's another thing too. Like, because of the broken leg, Maria, ever since then, refused to do the dance ever again. And so Frida and the rest of her family try to get her back into it. Like, don't let one incident stop you from expressing yourself by dancing.
Well, I mean, in that episode, she did end up dancing the Baye Folklorio with, like Carlota and Ronnie Anne. So, you know, I still want to see how she danced, you know, as a kid with the Baye Folklorio. Remember? She did dance it before. Yeah, she did dance it before.
She did it before, and that's the thing. Like, we could have an episode in which she gets back into it.
Here's the thing. If Big City Greens can be able to actually do some backstory stuff, why not the Casa Grandes? Then again, it's like Loud House doesn't have any backstory stuff as well. So...
Yeah, I think that's what's kind of lacking in both shows is that there's not enough flashbacks to their past. I mean, like, we got a full on legit Loud House comic in which like Lori takes care of baby Lincoln. Okay,
so yeah, see?
If the comics could do that, why can't the episodes?
Yeah, please. Oh my god. Oh, now I can't wait for Tuesday. Which, by the way, yes. The comics on Tuesday. Oh.
Tuesday's going to be a good day. Tuesday's going to be a good day, especially from what I've seen in the cover.
Yeah, the cover already is fine, but I've seen some previews about the comic. Oh my god!
I kind of don't want him spoiled. That's kind of the thing.
I know, but I can't wait. Oh my god.
Yes.
But to say the least, our point is clear. Maria does need more episodes, and we can't wait to see, hopefully, that the Casa Grandes crew can actually make those episodes come out, and we get to see more about who Maria is. Not just the nurse that she is, that we've been seeing in the Casa Grandes, but more of like her past and how she has been, from those crazy concerts that she's been to how she got into medical school, to how she met Arturo, and this whole divorce that between Arturo and Maria that they're dealing with right now in the Casa Grandes. Because there's so much potential for her, and we definitely owe it to her, because she's, to be honest, the way we've been talking about her, she did make this Casa Grandes show. I mean, if it wasn't for her, the Casa Grandes would not existed.
I Casa concur, my brand, my bro. I Casa concur.
All right. And that's pretty much it for our Loud Casa Talks episode. I know it's pretty short, but, you know, it's something that was something, it was itching in our minds that we need to actually talk about.
It was a food for thought sort of thing. Like, gets you thinking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Just remember that the Loud Casa Talks is available for you on all podcast providers, whether it be on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the podcast, Loud Casa Talks will be available there for you to listen to. And also head over to our YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe and hit the bell on our YouTube channel so that you can be notified of next time we're going to be coming on to record our next Loud Casa Talks episode. Otherwise, that's it for us here. Thank you all very much for checking out our recorded, our Loud Casa Talks episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. My name is Nate.
And this is Omid saying thank you all so much for watching. Thank you all so much for listening. It's nice to talk about an underappreciated character like Maria, especially when she's a hardworking nurse. You know, give massive respect to healthcare workers everywhere. And until next time, see you later, Casa Crew.